tell me why you think you need to go out and hit the road and do 20 of these meetings.
Well, June 15th is Elder Abuse Awareness Day, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and this is, I believe, is it our third annual or fourth annual? I'm sorry, I should know that off the top of my head. But basically, what we're trying to do is to raise awareness of elder abuse. And I noticed last year I had visited one or two senior centers on World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and there was an awful lot of people who really didn't understand what elder abuse was, wasn't aware that we even had a hotline to report it to. So I thought, well, okay, this year let's try to get out there and do a little education.
This is kind of a hidden abuse, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I think we're all aware of child abuse, and I think pretty much all of us know what to look for and how to report that. But elder abuse, I think, it's the last form of family violence, if you will. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of just the extent of this crime, what is happening. A lot of people do not know how to report it or think even know that they should report it.
I look at the list of things here it strikes me that some of these things might be kind of difficult to notice too, just because many elderly people have a tendency to isolate themselves, or they want to be totally independent, so please don't come around and bother me a lot to check on me. Mm-hmm. Do they kind of invite their own situation sometimes?
Well, I think it's looked at as vulnerability. A person who is more isolated obviously is more vulnerable. And I think some of it has to do with some of the signs of abuse that are, as I mentioned earlier, with child abuse that we're more aware of, some of those present a little differently in seniors. Bruising is a problem, but bruising can be attributed to medications that they're taking or poor circulation and not necessarily an injury, whether it be accidental or, an actual assault-type injury. And there's many signs and symptoms of abuse in another population, which with seniors, we sometimes say, well, you know, that's just part of the aging process. The person's confused. That's part of getting older. Well, not necessarily. Confusion could be caused by the abuse itself. So, yeah, a lot of the injuries can be very difficult to identify.
It strikes me also, as I read through this list of things you're going to be talking about, that a lot of abuse just boils down to basic neglect of these folks.
It can be caregiver neglect. It can be self-neglect. Yes.
So what do you do when somebody is in a case of self-neglect and, in effect, the abuser is the person themselves? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you have to determine if the person actually is aware of what's going on, if they actually understand the decisions that they're making and the consequences that go with those decisions. If a person does understand that, is mentally alert and oriented and understands that they're putting themselves at risk, you know, that they do have the right of self-determination, so they do have, you know, the law protects us so that we can all make bad decisions regardless of what age we are. If a person is somewhat confused, then that requires a different approach to help the person remain safe. The people that aren't confused and are self-neglecting, you know, we can make sure that they're aware of the options out there. Sometimes they just don't know that there are services that can help them. Sometimes a person might be afraid to admit that they need assistance, because if I tell you that I'm needing some help paying my bills or keeping them all straight, then my family may think that, okay, mom needs help with everything, you know, and that's not necessarily true. So I think people are afraid of losing their independence.
Do a lot of these cases go unreported because the elderly person doesn't in effect want to turn in a family member for not helping them when they should be paying attention or helping them?
I think that is one of the major reasons, yes. If there's a caregiver involved and it's a family member, yes, they don't want to report a loved one, certainly. Others, it may be that they're not aware that they can report. They don't know how. They don't want to, maybe they've been in an abusive situation for the majority of their life and don't believe that there's anyone else out there that would help them in any way.
You had 31,000 reports last year of elder abuse. How many of them turned out to be justified?
I can refer you to our department's homepage and then to senior services, and you will find Elder Abuse, It's a Crime. It's a publication we put out each year, and the last year that was published was fiscal year 2009. And we have lots of statistics in this, as well as general information on what constitutes abuse, signs that you can look for. Close to three-quarters of the reports we received that we found either reason to believe, which is our highest finding, or suspected the allegations.
Do you send somebody out to check on every one of these reports that comes in? Or do you make telephone calls, or how do you deal with each one of these?
Yes, our policy is to see the individual and talk to the witnesses and anyone else that might be involved in this. If we believe a crime has occurred, we're required by law as well to contact law enforcement. There may be some exceptions. If we get a report on what appears to be maybe a homeless individual that's a senior and we're not able to locate them, then, of course, you know, there are a few exceptions, but not many. Our policy states that we will go see the individual, and depending on the immediacy of the danger that they might be in, would determine how quickly we have to respond.
You point out that about 10% of the complaints that came in last year involved financial exploitation. Those are a form of abuse that don't leave bruises, that don't leave obvious marks. How do you crack those cases or find those cases?
Well, oftentimes what we tell people to look for, some of the signs of financial exploitation would be if you're seeing that a person's expenses or their bills are not being paid. Let's say they're getting eviction notices or utility shutoff notices, and yet when you look, it appears that they have adequate income to meet these expenses, but they're not being met. Where's the money going? What's happening here? Especially if you have a person that in the past has always been able to meet their bills and now all of a sudden they're not. Or we tell bank tellers, you know, if you have a customer that comes in on a fairly regular basis, let's say once a month, and withdraws a couple of $100, now all of a sudden they're coming in once a week and withdrawing a couple of $100, what's changed? Yes, there may be a very valid reason, you know, it may be justified whether there's something going on that they need to do this, but it could be that they're exploited. It's a red flag that we'd want to watch for.
So I guess one of the keys then is to have more eyes paying closer attention to the elderly just in case something's going on so they can spot it and then knowing what to look for.
Yes, I think awareness is always the key to prevention. And the more people that are aware of what constitutes elder abuse and how to report it, then the more people there are that are watching out for those who may be vulnerable to abuse.
You're holding these meetings in senior centers, senior housing complexes. Isn't that kind of meeting, are you talking to people who might be potential victims, or are you trying to reach an audience outside that? Because if you're going to be in the senior centers and these places, it seems to me like you're limiting your audience in many ways.
We actually will speak to any audience. I think right now we, in this particular effort, we are we are targeting seniors. As I said, that last year when I visited a couple of senior centers on World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, around that time, I found that seniors themselves weren't aware of elder abuse and how to report it. So I think starting with that particular group is a very good place to start. But we have also and continue to do presentations to various groups. There are various professionals that are mandated to report elder abuse, and we've been trying to raise awareness among them. We've talked to college students. We have talked to law enforcement. We've talked to a number of different groups. We've talked to various community organizations, the Elks, Knights of Columbus, whatever, some church organizations as well. So across the state, we have we'll talk to anyone who'll listen. How's that?